This verse is in reference to the previous verse, in which Lord Krishna discusses Mahatmas, or great souls. Who is a great soul will be understood differently by different people with different angles of vision. For people interested in earning a lot of money, someone like a Rockefeller or Bill Gates will be considered a Mahatma. For someone interested in playing football, Maradona, no, without a date. All right, someone else. Pele, he's a long time ago. See, we all joined a long time ago. And then for people who are interested in jumping and shouting and making a lot of noise in the name of music, it's Mick Jagger. There's so many different kinds of Mahatmas. In Poland, just yesterday I saw them advertising some beer. And in the advertisement it showed a guy with boxing gloves and a huge body. The beer was advertised as very strong. So the idea is if you drink this very strong beer, you'll become very strong. And thus you'll become a Mahatma among the beer drinkers. And in your next life, you'll become a buffalo. You want to be big and strong? So these are different kinds of mahatmas. But actually, a real mahatma is someone who glorifies Krishna. Everyone is atma. Everyone is an individual person. Mahatma means a great person. A really great person is Krishna. You'll find in the Vishnu Sahasranama, in the thousand names of Lord Vishnu, one of the names is Mahatma. Krishna is the really great person. He is... Nitya, Nityanam, Chaitanas, Chaitanam, Eko, Vajo, Nityanam. There are many, many, many different living beings. There is one supreme, that is Krishna. But one who glorifies Krishna, he also becomes known as a Mahatma. Everyone has a tendency to glorify someone else. If you don't glorify Krishna, you'll glorify some fool, rascal, and demon. There's no benefit in glorifying a demon. By glorifying a demon, you also become a demon. You think that those who are demoniac, they think that is very good to become a demon. It's like you see, there are still people glorifying Hitler. They think he was a very great person. He had all the right ideas. He was just a little unlucky, that's what he lost the war. But never mind, we shall continue to be Nazis. So among such people, they think, among these skinhead Nazis, they think that to become a Mahatma, you should kick people in the head and beat them to death. Then you'll become a Mahatma. So they're glorifying Hitler, or they're glorifying Mick Jagger, or they're glorifying some fools who are in this way they also become demons. Their tendency is there to glorify someone. But if we glorify Krishna, we become purified like Krishna. Why should we not glorify Krishna? He is actually the great person. Any greatness that anyone has in this world is only derived from Krishna. And what is the greatness of anyone in this world anyway? Actually, it's pathetic. You see, even Hitler is one of the most powerful persons of this century. But actually his ambitions were childish. I will conquer the world. And what are you going to conquer? You're going to die in a few years. Even if you conquer so many countries, you have to die. Then you become a frog or a dog. You have no memory that I was Hitler. I was a great conqueror. See, Prabhupada, you see this rascal Nehru, Pandit Nehru. He struggled all his life to become the leader of India, first prime minister of so-called independent India. So he was so powerful, wherever he went, people would say, Pandit Nehru Ki Jai Ho. And he was enjoying that, thinking, I am so great. In his next life, what happened? One astrologer explained that there was a man in Sweden and two dogs, and one of them was Pandit Nehru. Now that dog already died, and he's gone somewhere else. So what was the use of becoming a so-called great person of this material world? Big prime minister, and next life, come here boy, sit down boy, take some food. What is the greatness of this? You see, even this Mick Jagger, he must be almost 60 years old now. Still he has to jump around just to earn some money. If he doesn't, he's not satisfied, I can't get no satisfaction. He's got enough money and still he's not satisfied. So actually all these so-called great people of this material world, they're all slaves of their senses. They're all controlled by their senses. I was wrong. Was that word useless?
Useless.
senses.
Useless.
So your senses are useless unless they're engaged in the service of Krishna. Unless your senses are engaged in the service of Krishna, then they are useless. All the people are serving the useless senses. Therefore, they're all useless. I was reading a useless newspaper some time ago. There are many useless things, many interesting useless things in the newspaper. Very interesting to read, just to give some different examples about how useless the material world is. That doesn't mean that you should all study the newspaper for 2 hours. That doesn't mean that you should all study the newspaper for 2 hours every day. Why are you reading the newspaper? Why did Vikasa Rami say? Sitting on the Vyasa Sangha, he said everyone should read the newspaper three hours every day. Anyway, I was reading in the newspaper about a sub-Mahatma, or an almost Mahatma, Mick Jagger's sidekick. Sidekick means he's not very important associate, by the name of Bill Wyman. He's the drummer in the Rolling Stones since they began. So this is a few years ago. When he was 51 years old, he fell in love with a 16-year-old girl. So he divorced his, I don't know whether it was third wife or possible. Anyway, he had married a 16-year-old girl who was young enough to be his granddaughter almost. Anyway, 2 weeks later he divorced her. It cost him about £2 million, the whole thing. These are the mahatmas of the material world. So it's better not to glorify them. Better not to glorify these rats, better to glorify Krishna. Because Krishna is the ultimate object of glorification. Krishna is the supreme absolute truth. What does that mean? Who can say what that means? So many times we've heard that Krishna is the absolute truth. What does that mean? Anyone say anything? Right answer to
all questions.
Krishna is the answer to all questions you're going to ask. Yeah, that implies that Krishna is the cause of all causes. He's the ultimate principle. You're going to say something? Very good. Yeah.
The beginning.
Actually, you can write millions of books describing how Krishna is the absolute truth. You can write millions of books describing how Krishna is the absolute truth. So both these answers that have been given are good answers. The absolute truth means that upon which everything else depends. All other truths are dependent upon other factors, as Einstein understood to some degree. I am sitting here, but that is dependent upon the chair being here. So everything is dependent upon everything else, but everything is ultimately dependent upon Krishna, because he is the ultimate cause of all causes. At the same time, Krishna is not dependent upon anything, he is totally independent. Scientists study the laws of nature, but they don't understand how all these laws of nature come to being, nor how they are maintained. That is by the power of Krishna. Ekam Shena Stito Jagat. Krishna says that everything within the creation that is maintained by a tiny fraction of my energy, and everything comes from Krishna, that is another definition of what I can say. Simultaneous definition of the Absolute Truth is all these definitions weave together in the Absolute. This is described in the Upanishads. Yato va imani bhutani jayanti. The Absolute Truth is that from which everything emanates. Yena jatani jivanti. The Absolute Truth is that within which everything exists. Yad-prayat-yavishanti. He is that into which everything again enters. Tad-vijigya-sasva. That is the proper subject for inquiry into. Tad-brahmeti. That is Brahma. That is the Absolute Truth. This is described in Srimad Bhagavatam. Tad-vijigya-sasva. Tad-brahmeti. This is the subject of inquiry. This is the Brahma. Vedanta Sutra begins that Atato Brahma Jigyasa. Now we have attained the human form of life. We should inquire into the Absolute Truth. What is that Absolute Truth? That is the next sutra. Janma Yasya Yataha. The Absolute Truth is the source of all emanation. Janma Adi means Srishti, Sthiti, Pralaya, creation, maintenance, and destruction. So this is the subject matter of Srimad Bhagavatam. Janma Adi Asayatam Vriyat Nikrata Sachate Shvabhijna Swarat. The Absolute Truth is the source of everything. He is independent. He is all cognizant of the symptoms of the Absolute Truth. Ene Brahma Vidaya Adi Kavire Bhogyanti Yatsurya. It was he who imparted the Vedic knowledge to Brahma at the beginning of time. Bhogyanti Yatsurya. He is so, such subtle. Achintyatattva. Avichintyatattva. Achintyatattva. Such a non-understandable subject matter. Even the great demigods cannot understand. Therefore, the demigods, they simply praise him. Materialistic people, they praise the demigods. Shiva, Durga, Brahma, Chandra, Indra. What are the demigods themselves doing? They are praising Krishna. Ram, Brahma, Varanendra, Rudra, Narada, Stundanti, Kijai, Stavai. In many transcendental hymns, great demigods. Brahma, Varuna, Indra, Varanendra, Rudra, Shiva, Naruta. They're all praising Krishna. All the Vedas, including the Upanishads, they're all praising Krishna. All the great yogis, they meditate upon Krishna. And his glories, you cannot reach the end of them. Neither the demigods, nor even the great intelligent demons, with all their intelligence, they cannot reach the end of the glories of Krishna. Therefore, devaya tasmai namaha. Therefore, we simply offer our obeisances to him. The great demigods, they cannot properly understand Krishna. They misunderstand. Tejo vari madanga ta janamaya tuchi sago musha. He is misunderstood, just like if you sometimes you see a mirage. They mistake one thing to be something else. Sometimes Indra or Brahma, they mistake Krishna to be some ordinary person. Brahma, Amna, Srena, Sada, Nirasta Kuhakam, Satyam, Ram. He is totally situated in his own world. Sada, Nirasta Kuhakam. He is free from all contamination. Contamination, illusion, these things cannot touch Krishna. He is Satyam, Param. He is the Supreme Absolute Truth. Therefore, it is he who is to be meditated. He who is to be heard about. He who is to be remembered. Even though it is not possible to fully understand Krishna, because he is avichintyatattva, that means that even if you have very good intelligence, you cannot properly understand Krishna. It is described that Krishna, he is the original person. And the yogis, they meditate upon him. But even in millions of years, they can hardly just reach to the tip of the toes of his lotus feet. Because Krishna is not to be understood by the material intelligence. He is avichintyatattva. By your brain power, you cannot reach Krishna. Yogeshwaraya vidhi vichintya. That's the same word. Yogeshwaraya vidhi vichintya adadabodham. The great, very powerful yogis, within their hearts, they try to meditate upon Krishna with their tremendously expanded intelligence. But still they cannot understand Krishna. And even Krishna cannot understand Krishna. Now then you may say, well, Krishna is so great, he surely can understand himself. Yes, of course he can. But the thing is that Krishna's glories are always expanded. So if we say that even if Krishna understands his own glories, those glories again expand. So he can never keep up with his own glory because His mercy is always expanding to his devotees more and more. All the devotees, they're experiencing the presence of Krishna in their lives. Sometimes the devotees have such realizations of Krishna's glory that even Krishna himself thinks, actually, it's better to be a devotee than to be me. All the devotees are trembling in ecstasy remembering me. I'm also trembling in ecstasy remembering them. But it seems they're more ecstatic remembering me than I am ecstatic remembering them. Even though my love for my devotees is unlimited, their love for me is more. Therefore, Krishna feels himself incomplete. Even though he's the supreme complete, all completes, everything emanates from him completely. Om Purna Madaha Purna Vidam Purna Mudachati. All the completely manifested universes emanate from him. Still, he remains complete. Purnasya Purna Madaya Purna Viva Vishishati. He is always complete, even though he's always expanding his glory. He doesn't become depleted. depleted. He doesn't become, he doesn't decrease in his value. So even Krishna is desiring to understand who is Krishna. Thinking all the devotees are always glorifying me. I must be quite nice. What is it like to be a devotee? So he also thinks, let me become a devotee. Therefore he becomes Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Incarnation as Ananta, he tries to find out the limits of his own glory. Ananta means he has no end. He is unlimited. Ananta has unlimited knowledge and unlimited intelligence and unlimited power of circumspection. Unlimited power of sensory perception. And he has been enumerating the glories of Krishna since time immemorial with unlimited knowledge. And he never repeats the same glory twice. But he, that is still Ananda. He never comes to the end. Because there is no end to the glories of Krishna. No one can reach the end of Krishna's glory. So Krishna thinks, there's no end to my glory. Still my devotees are taking great pleasure in discussing those glories. So Krishna is thinking that to be a Mahatma, devotee, makes a more relishable position, even than to be Krishna himself. Relish the position of Krishna. Therefore, he takes the role of Sri Krishna Chaitanya. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Radha Krishna Nayana. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Radha and Krishna, not different. Anta Krishna Mahiya Gaura, she is inside, he's Krishna. But his being Krishna has been covered over by the fair complexion of Radha. Radha Bhavad Yuti Suvalitam Nomi Krishna Sarupam. He is Krishna, but he has accepted the mood of Radharani. Radharani is stronger than Krishna. Because she is the personification of devotional service. And the only thing stronger than Krishna is devotion to Krishna. Because Krishna agrees to be subordinate to his devotees. He is so much satisfied by his devotee, he is so much indebted by his devotee, that he agrees to become subordinate. Not simply agrees, but cannot but be subordinate to him. Because Krishna has promised that however much one surrenders to me, I will reciprocate with him. What is that verse? This is Krishna's promise. As much as you give yourself to me, I give myself to you. Or even, Prabhupada explained, if we make one step towards Krishna, Krishna will make 100 steps towards us. But in the case of the gopis, Krishna could not fulfill his promise. The gopis, they gave themselves so much to Krishna that Krishna could not reciprocate fully with them. He said, you will have to be satisfied simply with your love for me, because I've no more anything to give to you. And Krishna was defeated by the gopis. In this way they controlled him. Even we read Krishna, young boy, baby, baby Krishna. And the gopis, Mother Yashoda's age, they're singing and clapping their hands, and Krishna is dancing. Now who is that Krishna? It is the same Krishna who all the demigods are worshipping. Same Supreme Lord who people in all different religions are worshipping. It's the same Krishna who is controlling millions of universes. It's the same Krishna whose different expansion is Mahavishnu. When he breathed out, all the universes come from his body. Imagine how great this is.